You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Dylan Corey.
Your boy Jay Scott 2-5, man. What's good? I'm glad to have
you. What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir. That's been a long time coming, man. I'm happy to have my boy Nick back, man. It don't feel the same without you.
Those episodes were a little shorter, a little smarter, but we did miss you, Nick.
Dan's a tough cookie, man.
Yeah, you miss my level of dumb.
No, Nick.
Really, it's dumb the place up.
No, it doesn't quite feel the same. It's a good – I love the mix that we have here in terms of opinions, thoughts, and perspectives that we have. Man, it's good to have you back. I know that you were traveling for Florida Victorious with John Summerall and meeting with some donors. Any big takeaways that we can take from your travels?
Yeah, I think it's everyone's kind of had the same take. Whether it's been media people, because John's talked to, I think, French news. I think John's talked to anyone with a microphone this offseason. And kind of everyone comes away with the same take. Like, that's just still like a football guy. Intensity, you know, none of it matters. You're winning the offseason, but none of it matters until you play football in the fall, until you start getting wins. But, yeah, going in – sitting in those rooms, traveling around, he kind of did his thing and got in the rooms of people who can help the Gators.
Awesome, man. And so you were where? You were in Tampa, Orlando? No, South Florida, New York City.
Last week was Fort Lauderdale on Monday.
Okay.
Shout out to some State McGill listeners. I think three or four of the stops.
So you put up on Carl, man.
Yeah, Carl came right up to me. He was there before the event started. He's like, "Is Corey coming to this?" I was like, "What? Who are you?" I was like, "Who are you?" He was like, "Corey, I listen to Stadium and Gale." He's like, "We've watched some football here." I'm like, "Corey's watched football here?" It's like the yacht club. I was trying to explain to my wife. I was like, she's like, "Oh, you're going to see the yachts?" And I was like, "I guess. I don't know. I've never been there." And I walk in. I'm like, "Oh, these people take sailing very seriously."
And what there's a nice, like, establishment.
Sailing trophies and ribbons of tournaments I've never heard of on the wall. No, like, Rick Ross yachts. Just, I think, people who
did
really
you,
enjoy
did you
them.
Try the espresso martinis, though, man?
No. We didn't have that. He did say that you had at least two when you were there watching the game with him. I won't say how many, but he said at least
two. I definitely had more than two. I had too many.
At least two. At least two. Carl said he did put you on to the espresso martini.
I was so hyped up, man. I had a lot of energy and it crashed. Like,
They'll get you.
It was a mighty crash, bro. It was a mighty crash. But
so that one was fun. Flew up to New York. That was cool. I got to see Yankee Stadium. We were in Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Winter Haven, all throughout the state, and then hitting up New York as well. So a good trip. Glad to be in Gainesville, Florida on a Monday.
Yeah. I'm sure the wife is too. I'm sure the kids are glad you're home. But it looked like a great trip, man. Glad to have you back. We are in the throes of the offseason. But before we get on to the show, we're going to welcome Khalif Jackson to the show today. First, want to honor, I guess, those is the best way to put it, honor those that paid the ultimate sacrifice on this Memorial Day for the United States. So we, you know, we appreciate the service and the biggest and most selfless act that you could have in terms of fighting for our country, red, white, or blue, whatever your political opinions are. Our thoughts do go out to all of those that did pay the ultimate sacrifice, and we appreciate their service on this Memorial Day. With that being said, how's everybody's weekend? Pretty good weekend, Corey, Jordan?
Yeah, I have no complaints, man. Solid weekend. What have I done this weekend? Just work. That's it. I don't got nothing special to tell y'all, man. Not a whole lot of chilling like I would like to do. Just work, bro. Went down to Miami Midtown, tap 42 yesterday. I love the Midtown area. I haven't been to like that spot in Miami, but it's a little bit more wholesome, I would say, and a little bit more family like vibe. Yeah. But that's it, man. Just work, bro.
Good stuff, man. Lot. It seems like you guys are booming, so congratulations on that. Jordan, what about you, brother?
Yeah, I had a pretty solid weekend. I went down to Broward for a little bit to go visit St. Thomas and the boys on Friday. And after that, I chilled on Saturday. Saturday was a pretty chill day. Yesterday, I feel like I'm so confused and thrown off by this off day Monday. But yesterday, I just watched the Spurs and OKC at my boy's house. We had a little smaller watch party and hung out with all the guys and stuff like that. So pretty nice weekend. A little bit abnormal because I wasn't on total dad duties. I kind of felt like a regular
guy back at it, hitting the streets, mean streets of the 954.
That's a bet.
I did.
How you like St. Thomas got some guys, man. That they got from Belgrade over there, man. One of my homeboy's son just transferred over there. Vereen, DM
for great education.
Yeah. Y'all recruit everywhere. Y'all in the month. Y'all have no honor, bro. Y'all recruit
allegations. Allegations.
Right.
Nah, I respect it, man. But how St. Thomas looking? They got a good squad over there?
Yeah, it's looking good, man. I don't know. I feel like every time I go back out there, I just feel like the dudes are getting smaller and smaller. That's just my opinion. Good. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I feel like all of high school, I even feel like that when I go out there to Newman sometimes and like coach out there with them. But I just, the speed is there, the talent is still there, of course. But I just feel like maybe I was just biased when I was playing. I just felt like my O-line, D-line looked a little bit bigger. Obviously, I had like Nick Bosa on my D-line and stuff like that. None of those guys out there anymore. But I think, I just feel like they were smaller. But they still looking like St. Thomas. The depth is there from 1 to 4 or 5. It can all be starters at anywhere in the high school ranks. So that's one thing that I still like. They still got out there. There's a bunch of depth and a bunch of dudes that can still play ball at a high level. So none of that's changed for sure.
Yeah, my junior year. Shut up, Brandon. You don't know. my junior year, I think our offensive line averaged like 305 pounds.
I don't feel like that. It was right now.
I don't know. Sam Young and Dan Wanger were the left tackle and the center. Both went to Notre Dame. Marcus Gilbert of Tim Tebow CTE fame, Florida Gator was the right tackle. There's a kid that went to Duke, and like all five went D1, but they were just like big.
Yeah, that's what happens when you recruit illegally. So
not recruiting anything.
How dare you? How dare you?
Okay.
It's not my fault that they want to be on a winning side. That's all I'm saying.
Winning team.
Yeah. No, 100%. Hey, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Cole Springs High School doesn't recruit, so they've not been on the winning side of anything ever. I know. It's a shame. Speaking of which, it's my 20th high school reunion, our anniversary last week.
They still do reunions?
I think they're doing a reunion, but we're actually getting together. There's like a group of 10 of us that were all friends in high school. We're all meeting in Atlanta. None of us actually live in South Florida anymore, strangely enough, but we've got a friend that is involved with like the World Cup. And so she's going to be over from London into Atlanta. A group of friends live there. Shout out to my boy Ross, big friend of the program here. So we're going to just do it all in Atlanta. So we're all flying up there. So not a lot of sports talk when I'm up there, that's for sure.
I've yet to be to a high school reunion. I don't think it's going to happen. Everybody just see each other on Facebook. We see each other's kids. Everybody know what everybody's doing. So it's like,
yeah. I think it's a little bit different. I did see the guest list of who was going to the actual reunion, and I don't know if I would have fit in with the group that's going. So I think we went to different parts of the school. That's okay. That's okay. but anyway, guys, I got a Blackstone today, so I'm super pumped about that.
And nice.
I'm telling you about my my nice. In the future. So that'll I think I get in on Friday. So super pumped about that. But
so you don't have it today. The barbecue on the cook on today.
No, we didn't barbecue or cook today. We went in furniture shopping for the better part of 5 hours today because I still have a relatively empty house here. So we got after it a little bit yesterday. We went out on the boat with a group of friends, and then we went over to like a little cookout thing. It wasn't a cookout. It was like a make your own bowl. It's in a wash. It's washed activities, you know, just make your own bowl type of thing. And they taught the kids flip cup, which I thought was a choice. But
was that a choice? Well, when you say kids,
Between 4 and 9 years old.
Okay,
yeah,
they're gonna be in the cup, though.
They had apple juice and pineapple.
DCF, quick, brother.
Yeah. apple juice and pineapple juice.
Let me tell you what, those kids, St. Thomas, not only known for sports, we partied. Those kids might be on scholarship at St. Thomas, starting flip cup at 4 years old.
Yeah, it was interesting to describe the game without trying to use alcohol to describe it. But anyway, I don't want to put them on blast. Great day yesterday overall. So, but let's get on with the show. We've got two quick ad reads, and then we will get on to our first topic here.
Yes. Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys. My man Gray's the best of the best in the business. He can save you money. I promise you, he can save you money. It don't cost you a dime to find out. Bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Homes, autos, airplanes, RVs, motorcycles, ATVs. If it has wheels, you can get it insured. And also your life. I don't know if your life has wheels, but Greg will insure it.
Greg, what it do, baby?
I know Greg was missing that. He was asking me when you were coming back to make sure that everybody knew it was the end of his ad read. And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, a group of great guys that are three former attorneys that used to work on behalf of the insurance companies and now work on your behalf. So if you have issues with property insurance, pipe leaks, water damage, wind, hail, hurricane, sinkhole, whatever it might be, give the folks over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group a call at 855-652-1377 or dykusburkelaw.com. Hurricane season is not far away, so just a good number to keep handy, 855-652-1377. That's the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. All right, boys, just a quick little cool note here. The Gators won the 29th SEC All Sports Trophy. They led all SEC teams with four national titles this year. So congratulations to the men and women in orange and blue. With that, Nick, we will talk. Congratulations to the Florida Gator softball program, who unfortunately did lose in the Super Regional but did make it through to the Super Regional in what was really an epic series. We're not going to dive much into it. We just aren't the subject matter experts and really kind of too much of a drama story to talk about. But congratulations on a great season overall. Unfortunately, fall just one game short of making the Women's College World Series. But the men's baseball team loses to Georgia in the semifinals of the SEC tournament, but did secure a spot in a regional for the 18th consecutive year, which is now the longest consecutive baseball history in college baseball of making a regional. So Vanderbilt was a team that had trumped them, right? It was Vanderbilt that was ahead, or was it LSU that was ahead?
Some live fact checking here.
Yeah.
They're a national seed, so top 8 seed, which means they'll host super regionals.
Sorry, they're, yes.
and it's 19 years in a row. They were at 18. Vanderbilt was at 19. Vanderbilt missed the playoffs or missed the tournament this year. Florida made it. So Florida's 19 streak is not the longest in history, but the current active longest.
Active longest. So yeah. Congratulations to the boys in orange and blue as they kick off their tournament. They have what, Miami, Temple?
Ryder, Miami, Ryder, and where's my fourth team? Troy.
Troy. I knew there was
shout out to John Summerall. Troy, are they the Trojans?
Yes, they are.
Troy Trojans.
Yep. A lot of coaches from this coaching staff head coached at Troy. So how are our prospects looking, Nick? Did we go 3-0 against Miami down there or 2-1?
2-0. We had a Sunday rainout. They called. So Florida will play open up against Ryder on Friday. It's that time of the year. It has been raining. We're supposed to get like 6 inches to 10 inches of rain this week. Dumped on us last night. So Florida chose the early game. I believe it's noon on Friday. As we are, you know, getting afternoon thunder showers, thunderstorms. We had an absolute electric fire show or a lightning show last night. Like, certainly no games are going to be played if that happens. But Florida plays early Friday. Miami gets Troy. Miami will be without their starting third baseman, Daniel Cuvée. He's not having the kind of year he did as a freshman or a sophomore, but like future big league player. A kid who is going to play a lot of baseball. So that's tough for them. He's only played in 41 games. So he's missed, you know, double digit games for them this season, but that's a huge bat that you get to avoid this weekend.
Who do we think is going to be the starting pitcher Friday early?
Yeah, it's interesting because Liam Peterson has not pitched well in the postseason. Like really bad as a freshman in the SEC tournament and then in regionals and then last year in the SEC tournament and regionals, terrible in the postseason. Aiden King, SEC pitcher of the year. Sully typically hasn't played games though. Like I remember going out and watching like Logan Shore pitch against FAMU when Logan Shore was your Friday night guy. And it's just like, hey, we pitch our first guy against whoever we're playing first in the regional. And then we pitch our second. I'd have to go and look it up, but I think Liam Peterson has absolutely shoved against Miami. So you're probably fine throwing him at home on a mound that's super familiar to him against a team that, you know, he's already had success against. Uh-oh, Jordan Mandown. But, like, to me, I think historically Kevin O'Sullivan hasn't tried to get cute. You know, some people are like, oh, throw Russell Sandifer against him. Like, Russell Sandifer got smoked by a comebacker in the forearm and had to come out of the game in the second in Hoover. And I was telling people like, hey, X-ray is negative, but also I don't know when he'll be able to like grip a baseball to throw a bullpen. Like, I don't know if his next start will be the first time he's thrown off a mound because of, whatever deep contusion you're getting by getting hit by a baseball going 100 miles an hour. So to me, I guess we'll ask Kevin O'Sullivan when we talked to him before the regional. But to me, historically, he's stayed. Whatever my weekend rotation is what we stay with. So I'd expect to see Aiden King Friday, Liam Peterson Saturday.
Gotcha.
You can't play for game two and then lose game one.
Right. Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah.
Which I think the last time.
Out of the bracket, yeah.
Not the last time Florida was here, but there was the regional with USF and South Alabama where you went 0-2 in your regional.
Oh, yeah. That's when the USF fans were ready to.
That was my introduction to Bulls fans.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. How prospects, obviously, as the number 8 overall seed, I believe, and hosting a super regional, that means that the Gators probably should come out of this region. You're 2-0 against Miami. Obviously, you haven't played Ryder or Troy this year. Prospects thinking good. I mean, it seems like the team's playing some pretty good baseball right now. I know that they lost to Georgia there, who eventually went on to win the SEC.
Yeah, Georgia won the regular season and SEC tournament. It's shout out to Wes Johnson.
We're not going to do that. We're not shouting at anything Georgia.
That's fine. He's done a good job since leaving LSU.
Okay. Yeah, LSU's in a dumpster fire right now. It's weird not seeing them in the
tournament. Bro, I was telling somebody earlier, their coach, Jay Johnson, he gets away with it because he's won two of the last three national championships. But Jay straight up came out early April, or
I think it was in May. We talked about how he like basically told the team that they sucked.
Yeah, they lost to like Texas A&M. Either got swept. They got swept in six of their 10 series this year.
Sick.
On the weekend. He straight up came out with like 6 weeks to play and was like, "Yeah, we messed up in the portal. We did not have good evaluations, and that's on me. We're gonna fix that this offseason." I'm like, "My God, you've got 25, you just told your team that they suck, and you got another month to play. That was wild." Not for lack of spending either. Saw a bunch of LSU fans trying to say that Tennessee's buying player. I'm like, buddy, you're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, I don't know if LSU's in a position to talk about.
Top of the food chain, spending for baseball. There's you can't say it was unfair. Somebody paid too much money.
They don't spare kids at hospitals or done.
No.
Well, sounds like they got a little comfortable with that money right there.
Yeah. Well, then going to Texas Tech, going to softball, they have a softball pitcher, the Kennedy, who's made $1 million in each of the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And they were getting mad that, like, the ESPN broadcast is talking about them. Like, oh, we've never seen spending like this in our sport. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why do we keep talking about this? I'm like, because you're spending more than some SEC baseball teams.
Why do you think they get so mad about having money? Like,
I don't get it. I
know. I'd be talking rich.
I'm talking greasy, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
are you driving that Maybach? Seriously? Yeah, I am. I am driving.
Like 16 of their 23 players are transfers this year. They have the most expensive softball player in history. And why not talk about it?
I mean, Texas Tech
didn't just become good at a variety of different sports because magically things aligned perfectly. Like, you have money, flaunt the money. It's working for you.
Yeah, listen, Lubbock's a dump, but like
it is.
Sure, but there's a number. There's a number. I would go live in Lubbock for a number.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so good luck to the baseball team. They will be playing on Friday morning. I need to look up golf. Where are we at with golf? I know we are in a good spot.
We made match play.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then they took today off. I just wanted to kind of see where we were at, where we finished. Yeah. Like, sorry, guys. I'm trying to see where the results were for golf. I should have had this pulled up, of course, but that's live show business, baby.
We were busy yapping in the pre-show because I hadn't been here for a month.
Yeah. So I guess the Gators will not move on. So they made it the first cut. They did not make the second cut. They finished in 10th with a +8. Stanford is running away with it right now with a -21 heading into the final couple of days there. Jordan, we got Khalif soon before we move on to the next topic. All right.
He said he's about to come right now.
Okay.
To his laptop.
Perfect. Trying to think. Couple other things. Big visit weekend ahead. We're going to talk a little bit more about recruiting after Khalif Jackson joins the show here. But the Gators are hosting, and Kennedy Jackson is a name to potentially look out for there out of Lithonia, Georgia. He is the 139th overall player in the country, the number 14 offensive tackle in the country, and the number 14 overall player in the state of Georgia. His numbers get dropped down pretty drastically, actually, by ESPN. So if you take his ranking out, he's probably – the 110th player in the country and probably the 9th or 10th offensive tackle in the country there. So that's a name to potentially look out for this upcoming weekend as the Gators look to continue to buzz on the offensive side of the football. Well, with that, we're going to do a quick ad read, and then we're going to get Khalif Jackson on the show. One time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com if you want a really cool cup like this one. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com and use promo code STADIUM15, and you will get 15% off of your order. And with that, we are going to welcome former Florida Gators tight end, originally from Jacksonville, Florida, Khalif Jackson, who is now, I believe, an attorney. Yes, so congratulations to him. I think that that's a relatively new development. So congratulations, Khalif. Welcome to Stadium and Gale, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Happy to be here.
Oh, Khalif Jackson, JD.
Yeah, right. ESQ. I passed South Carolina and the Florida bar, so just collecting them like Infinity Stones. That's all I can do now.
That's right. We're going to call you. We could theoretically call you Dr. Jackson. So.
Yeah, you could. Well, you could. You absolutely could.
It's a little uncouth, but Dr. Jackson, before you became a Juris Doctorate here, talk to us a little bit about your recruiting and how you ended up at the University of Florida.
I mean, like, my recruiting journey was wild, to say the least. Personally, I probably went and camped in Florida about 5 to 6 times. Being a guy from Duval County, Jacksonville, like, you want to stay home. And so, like, I had 30-plus offers, Power 5, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Mizzou. I got Mizzou when I was, like, 14 in UCF. So I had offers all throughout high school. I was mid-tier, high 3-star, sometimes low 4-star, whatever. I wasn't crop or premier top, but I was good for a lot of those other programs. But deep down, I always want to go to Florida. My mom went there for law school. Like, I didn't want to go far from home. So my last time going through there, or my second to last, we had a team camp, and all the kids from South Florida were down there. I remember it vividly because Tavares McFadden was at Booker T, and he was guarding me then, and I went off. And I remember Drew Hughes was like, just wait on us, just wait on us. And my head coach was like, man, I ain't got time for that. And I was like, I'm going to go back one more time. I went back at Friday Night Lights, and that's back when we had Coach D. Lou, Muschamp and all of them, and I'm doing receiver, and I'm doing straight. Like, you know, I'm honest. So at best, I was a 4.6, 4.5 guy, and that ain't Florida speed as a receiver. I'm just going to shoot you straight. But, like, I remember vividly I looked at Muschamp, and I was like, can I go do tight end? And he looked at me like, what? And Dillman was right next to him. And then next thing you know, Dillman's like poking my thighs and looking at me. He's like, he could do it. Like, he could
do it.
So I run down there. Dulu has me run a corner route on some kid in safety. He couldn't cover me. It was easy. And then he has me, like, come back. I run a seam. Catch it. Come back. One more time. And I run an option. He's like, that's all I need to see. I'm done. You're done. So after that, I was done for the day. I go upstairs. I don't get it that day. And so they're telling me, just wait. He looks like, just wait. Top guy seemed like, I want you. So the next day he calls me. It's actually after I got off of Wisconsin, like 5 minutes after Florida had offered me. And I just straight up told him, like, I mean, you can keep it. Like, I'm staying home. And so that's kind of happened. I was at work. They called my dad. Muschamp called my dad first, told him he was going to offer me. Then Muschamp called me. And I was ecstatic, man, being from Duval County, thinking I could stay home. I was like, why not, man? This is what I'm looking for, the education and the history. You know, we don't talk about 81, but I looked up to 81 growing up. So, like, I'm just going to call a thing a thing. Like, you know. So
Chico, go there, man.
Yeah, the girl that played tight end.
Yeah, we can say it on
somebody like that.
We say it. This is family, man. You could say
it. Hernandez, man. I'm like, heck yeah, man. I'm gonna do that. And so that's kind of what it looked like. And everything was great until it wasn't. You know, I remember they lost to Georgia Southern. And it got dark, and so everybody know what happens.
Dark day.
I remember. I think my class at that point, we had like Sheridan Jones. We had a couple of kids. We had, I think McGriff was still. He might have been committed then.
Yeah, McGriff was in our class. Yeah.
We had a bunch of people, and I think Tez might have just committed, or I don't remember. But they were. Drew Hughes was trying to hold us all together, and my mom was very much a proponent of, when you say you're going to do something, you stick to it. And so I'd be sitting here lying if Louisville tried to poach me on the back end. Funny enough, Mullen at Mississippi State tried to get me, him and Billy. I have family from Mississippi right up the road. And so they're coming after me like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know what's going to go on there. My mom was like, when you say you're going to commit to something, you're going to do it. And so Muschamp was gone. I decided after my last game of high school, I was just going to enroll early because there's no point in staying behind. Like, I might as well. I ain't got nothing better to do. I love basketball, but I'm not. I was disappointed in my junior, but I'm not. I'm not doing that. And so I remember asking Drew if I could enroll early. He gave me the runaround, and I was telling my mom, I'm going somewhere early. So we got to figure it out, and I ended up enrolling early with Bebe. And
Bebe, I forgot about that. Bebe was my roommate.
Bro. You know, Bebe was my roommate. Yeah.
As a reporter, it took me all of spring to learn how to say and spell Imator Bebe. And by the time I got it, he's gone.
He was my roommate.
I'm an honest, transparent guy. It wasn't his vibe. Like, we lived right next to each other in the Springs, We shared that bathroom. I'm from Florida. He's from, I think, Atlanta, but he had a SoCal vibe back then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't gelling. It was not gelling. He ain't wearing deodorant either. It was like some different things. It wasn't gelling. Like,
he was bohemian.
Very much bohemian before it was cool. But he didn't. I was one of the ones who took to the, you know, picking at you, trying to test you whether or not you're tough. He ain't like that. He was not a fan of that. Yeah. He was not all that locker room fighting. No, Bebe was not doing any of that. And so my buddy was gone, and, you know, I got to wait till the summer. Then my guys came in. So
yeah, I was about to say he was gone before I even got there, because I remember coming to visit y'all when you enrolled early, and I caught y'all in Springs. And by the time I got there in the fall, I'm like, what happened to the other bro that was on?
And after what, like a month?
But he was there through spring. That spring, OG spring, we had an indoor, and like rules was different. we was at the lacrosse field. Me and Bebe were kids. I crack a joke. When I enrolled at Florida, prior to that, McElwain straight up said, "Now you're playing receiver." And so, like, I'm in my mind, I'm like, "Do you see me going to the side?" That's back when we still had JC Jackson. So, like, you gotta think JC Jackson wasn't getting burned like that. So, who's seeing JC? Me running 4.7 out of high school. I came in 186 soaking wet. Man, I'm not ready for this.
JC Jackson was also 186, 196.
Well, JC Jackson was a different type of frame. That boy was chiseled.
Man, if that boy ain't get caught up, man, things might look a little different. I ain't seen many.
He was ahead of most of that room. A lot of those young boys played, but JC was ahead of, I think, who he had? Quincy at that time and a few others.
Man, I pulled Quincy up a photo. My spring, it was Vernon, May, Kiki, JC Jackson, Duke Dawson, Quincy, Tease,
Poole,
Nick Washington, Marcel, DeAndre Porter, Brian Poole.
Porter got caught up.
Yeah, Porter's still sitting time right now.
Yeah, I see Porter on. You know, I'm like, never mind. I leave it alone. I don't see Porter do nothing.
He can use your help.
Porter actually lived across the hall.
Your expertise.
My homie CJ. Me and CJ was tight. So I actually got to give credit to some of my, I don't really call them old heads because they're only a year ahead of me. CJ Wharton, David Shaw from Duval County, Ryan Sosa, Justice Reed, and Dre Live with Justice. Like, they kind of took me under their wing when I first got there. And that was like my home. So right across the hall from CJ and Sosa was Justice and Dre.
The baby, the king of Midtown.
Brother, I don't know if I ever lied about a player more. I went to like a football recruiting camp or football camp when Ryan Sosa was a junior, and I'm like, this is the best wide receiver I've ever seen in my life. And then I think he committed to FSU, and then he flipped to Florida. I'm like, this kid, I don't know what the NFL record is for receiving yards, but he's gonna have it by year 10.
So me and Sosa have the illustrious title of giving hell on scout team. And Sosa did not fit our scheme. That's what it boiled down to. Sosa didn't fit the scheme that McElwain had. I didn't fit the scheme that McElwain had as a receiver. And he just was hell-bent on making me a receiver until I was like, I'm going to go play tight end. I'm not DeMarcus Robinson. I don't wake up, roll out of bed, and just have that shit. We got to warm him up. I'm not Ahmad. I'm not – it was different. So, like, dropping a guy like Sosa in there, he is – quicker than he is fast, but he's not quicker or faster than Callaway,
right?
And he's not quicker than BP. So it's a weird scenario, and it doesn't mean he can't ball. It's just you don't fit this scheme, and so now it's like figuring out where your home is. It's not might not be here, and then understanding that I was in a weird spot. I got recruited by Muschamp, and I let McElwain know it. Like, look, bro, we inherited each other. I don't know you from a can of paint. You don't know me, but I was gonna come here regardless. I could have came here without football. So look, we ended to win it, brother. And just understanding, like, we just didn't fit the scheme. and kind of navigating that. I don't think Sosa lacked talent. I just don't think he was at that time, you know.
And then he got came in and swallowed by a lot of dudes. Callaway came in and merged. I feel like if it wasn't for Callaway, maybe he would have had an opportunity to kind of show
I can tell people my recruiting class, my receiver class, me and Callaway, and they like, damn. I'm like, yeah, kill him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, he came out of nowhere, like, and it really messed a lot of people up. Like, it was crazy. Even like Fullwood was supposed to have a
exactly like that 6'5 year. To take the top off. And it's just like, he's not gonna play over D-Rod.
Come on, you're not gonna put him over D-Rod, and we only run two receivers. So what you want to do?
Yeah, I love Jake McGee. I'm a Jake McGee stan, but we just need Jake McGee and Goolsby. We don't need them both out there. I mean, we in 3rd and 7, and we got, you know, bro, we got Jake.
He wanted to be Bama so bad, bro. He wanted to be Bama so bad.
I know. That's why
this house really decorated in like Bama stuff. When like I heard a few recruits say when he went over there, he had a lot of Bama stuff at the crib. McElwain.
I've been at his house one time. I just knew that man ain't let us have no drip in Florida. We was in that man, boy. I had a sleeve over my leg. He cut it. Man, I had a whole knee. So you can't wear the sleeve longer than you can. Kids don't want to call me and deal with that. Man, look, I tell you one thing, man. That was not it. There was a lot of things that were questionable.
Mm-mm. Well, here's a question. Go ahead. Some guys were allowed drip. Mr. 2-5 had a visor. I remember that.
He had an eye problem.
I did, quote unquote.
Yeah. I bet you had glaucoma too, huh?
Right? Yeah.
But I mean, it just wasn't it, man. He wasn't the fit for the school, and like, he was trying so hard to make the university something it wasn't, and it hurt. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck. We went to the SEC championship back-to-back years. Them wasn't his players. That was that Muschamp defense.
Yeah.
You saw what happened the third year. You start like, oh, it got real scary. Like, I'm just keeping it a buck. Like, he ain't teach Keanu Neal how to play. He didn't teach Jared Davis how to play, Alex Anzalone how to play. That was Champ. Like, McElwain wasn't over there on defense.
Right.
He had the yellow teeth, yelling in your face, spitting all over you, calling wide open. That's all he was doing.
You weren't getting those Jim McElwain PB&Js, Khalif. That's what it sounds like.
I'm good. I'm nothing like that. he knew how I felt. Like I ain't hide it. Like, I mean, I don't think that was the year you had, you know what I'm saying? But
That year got sticky.
So like that last fall, I was at Florida.
No pun intended.
I want to say Goolsby and Morrill, and all the boys got hurt during camp, and I went off during camp, and I looked at them, and we played somebody week two. Sorry, and I said, you know, I'm gonna get some burn this week, and he's like, I can't make no promises. I said, man, if you can't promise me that I'm gonna play against Northern Idaho State of Nebraska, I'm not gonna take
the field off. I don't know what you want me here for, there, brother.
I said, man, I graduate this semester. What does that mean? It means I get my paper and I walk across the stage, and the old rules that mean I can peel. Well, I love my teammates. With the exception of a handful of coaches on offense and all the defensive coaches, I'm nothing on everybody else. I'm just keeping it real.
Khalif, what's your opinion about the game day drip that McElwain brought to the boys?
You talking about our boat shoes?
Yeah, boat shoes.
Out there looking like we about to go do 18 holes and go lose. That's that thing, bro. Like, come on, bro. This is Florida, bro. Like, yeah, we got tradition, we got history, but like, how you gonna recruit kids from down south to Jacksonville and Atlanta, and you got them out here looking like, you know what I'm saying, some leaves in the Dockers in the mesh. I mean, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I'm an old head now. I wish I had them polo shirts because they like $100 now. But back then, I don't want that.
Yeah, back then, I ain't want no parts in that
one. Oh, man, no.
Had you guys in boat shoes and pleated Dockers getting ready pleated to go to Dockers. War.
Yeah. I got it in my closet, Nike golf. No. I swear, tell you no lies. In my closet right now.
What was your welcome to college moment in practice? Like, what was that moment where you realized it's just a different league?
Shit.
All right. So, obviously, spring, we ain't going to count that because I was a baby. There's two. We were doing – that was before y'all came, Scarlett. We was out there doing them 40s, 50s, and 60s, OG runs. But hell, we got through the 40s. I got through the 60s and the 50s, and I threw up all over myself. Just all, I'm talking about hands, my forearms, and I tried to keep going, and Coach Mack pulled me out. So that was the first baby one. But the real football moment, man, Quincy and his daddy, because I'm going to blame his daddy too, it was in fall camp, and I'm tied in the mug. Quincy out there, he's in cover too. Quincy knows I got a must-out release go. Must-outside release go. He know it. And his pops is over there, kill him, kill him. Man, that boy Quincy put me in the coolest to his dad. And I'm like, cute, dog. And he, man, and at that moment, I say, let me go ahead and this ain't, nah, I'm nothing on that. But yeah, that I ain't never get my clock wrong. Kiki, I knew how to get out the way. Tone, I knew how to get out the way. Mm-mm. The only person that ever, like, hit me so hard I couldn't pause, swallow for a week was Ventrell Miller.
Your trail got that stick too. Now that boy solid.
Yeah, I went an option route. I caught it. Man, he hit me right in my throat. Man, I couldn't eat for a week. Man, it hurt. Like, you know, when you get hit, you can't even, boy, you like your eyes water. I'm over there. He over there just walking back. Besides that, man, I ain't, that was it, man. I got hit by a trail and Quincy put me in the coolest. So.
Yeah, trail was the dog.
Khalif, we forgot to ask this question last week, so thankfully you're here because we got grilled in the comments, and you mentioned it already. Who had the best hands on the team at the time?
What are you talking about? We talking about fighting?
Yeah. We're definitely not talking about receiving.
So, you know, I'm an attorney, so we got to be very particular with the
words. Words matter.
The statute of limitations has run, allegedly.
I'm gonna exclude myself from this because I'm gonna tell the truth. I fought so much. He made me go to anger management. I fought a teammate. Word. I won't say his name. Pieced him up something nice. He decided he wanted to break a glass window. Scarlett was there. He knows. He sent me to anger management for that. But outside of me, Rayshon Jackson has some.
Miami boy, ain't it?
Le Motor Mouth has some hands. See Luca fight.
Yeah. Motor Mouth, you mean Chauncey, correct?
No. I don't need his people coming after me. I'm talking about Rayshon Jackson. I gotta be 23 me and Chauncey know each other, so I was like 15. I'm a fan, Chauncey. I don't want a problem. Rayshon Jackson can throw hands. Siante can fight. I'm trying to think who Dorsey can fight.
Yeah, I ain't never seen Big Dorsey get down. Dorsey was on his back here when I got there, but they say Dorsey was
Big Dorsey can fight.
Mm-hmm. What about D-Mac?
D-Mac can fight. I forgot about D-Mac.
I remember I watched him and Tone get right.
Hold on. We had an Antonio Morrison Choppa Dan fight.
I'm gonna keep it a buck though. Like Tone was so
they fought.
Tone couldn't really get it in because he was so big, and you know how Tone walked like his legs out like that, so he couldn't really get it in. But D-Mac can fight Duval. You know what I'm saying? Duval,
yeah. D-Mac gave him a run for his money out there on that little track field that we was on. I think that was one of the first couple weeks of when freshmen got there. We was doing like a couple drills, and then we'll kind of line up and do like, you feel me, 7-on-7 with no ball or whatnot, whatever they call it. And I just saw them boys break out in a fight. I'm like, oh, shit, my second week here, and them boys already linebackers beating each other up. I'm in trouble.
D-Mac can fight. C-Lew can fight. Rayshon Jackson could fight based off, you know, we had our before NIL was a thing, before we could have podcasts and all that fun stuff, and you know, in the locker room. I'ma just say this now, in case nobody said it, Antonio Riles would be a media personality if he was allowed to do what they're allowed to do now. He was ahead of, he was 10 years too early.
I call it, man.
If y'all ever get a hold of that boy phone, woo, we got content for a lifetime.
He do.
We had Antonio Riles, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We talked about that. Yeah, like a month ago. Yeah,
he tried to tame Riles. Or did you have a Riles spit in the rip? Man, that boy had
a little bit of both. A little bit of both, but a hell of a personality.
Right, yeah, sure. T-Riles still
tried
T-Riles
to fight Corey that one time. tried to square up.
We made peace. They had a, you know, had a cocktail after that.
But yeah, man. As far as fighting, it was them, but you know, there's other squabbles and stuff like that. But they weren't really fighting, you know. Some people got snuck, you know, but like head to head fighting, besides that little fight night, that was about it. All the people that could fight.
So what
who
would be
from the coaching staff that was a little off to you, or just a funny moment from somebody on that staff?
Oh, but it was.
Oh my God! Were you coached by Greg Nord?
I forgot about Greg.
Listen, no disrespect. I don't know why that question brought that name out of my head. No, just sheer coincidence.
Y'all want to just what make me laugh? What be making us laugh every day? Or like y'all want me talking about Greg Nord?
Because I had no actually a coach, bro. He used to be funny as hell.
Y'all want me talk about Greg Nord? Or y'all want me talk about what we used to laugh at about them coaches?
I want Greg Nord first.
Greg Nord, man, he need to be in a nursing home. He need to be at the Villages. He ain't have no business out there. He had no village, man.
Volunteers, no way he was a real coach.
I tell you, me and Nord didn't. We did not see eye to eye. We did not see everything was cool with Nord. So he just started snapping on me one day, and then Goosby told him the next day to shut the F up, get the F out of my face, and he shut up. I say, you want to come? Oh no, that don't. Mm-hmm. We need you to be consistent a little bit. Like mm-hmm. you can show favoritism, but he just told you to shut the F up, get the F out of his face, and you shut up. I missed the down block and. Hell is on fire. No, we can't do that. After that point, it was out the window. I was like, man, get the fuck out of my face. And no, he had us doing them basic. He had us doing Jake McGee drills, but we was not Jake McGee. It was, and I don't know how to explain. We had a team full of H's, but you trying to have us run like, you know what I'm saying? We running the wishbone. I'm not on that.
I forgot about Greg Nord, man. They needed. I don't know who threw that man a bone, but they threw him a bone that year.
Man, I think him and Summers was a package deal.
Him, Summers, and Coach Kent. What you talking about?
Yeah, right now, we're going to talk about Coach Kent, though. I like Coach Kent.
Coach Kent, my dog, but all the boys needed to be in the same home.
But that's why, you think about it, tight end-wise, the exception of, who really got progressively better throughout the years of them being there?
No one.
Jake McGee was Jake McGee, the same McGee when he came in as he left. Goolsby, athleticism shined through. It wasn't like he became a savant blocker or it was just raw athleticism.
Yeah,
but one that I think they underdeveloped, who was the best in the room, was Morrow. Everybody
was crazy like that. They slept on him.
Morrow was so cold, man. Y'all, boy, that boy had a Perry, man. That boy was cold.
Yeah,
he looked 15 years old.
He was snubbed, though. He got snubbed, for sure.
He just had that little baby face. He had a little baby fat on him, too. We never saw him.
Nope. Yep. But when you did, he was explosive. He was dynamic. It's just like...
Yeah, he made some plays if you gave him that rock, though.
Yeah, but you know the politics. Who going up and trying to make nice to the coach's wives and stuff like that. This, that, and the third, you know. But, yeah, no.
Were you there with Jake both years? Because Jake came in. This is a great story because you grad transferred. So they send Jake McGee out to media. He transferred from Virginia, and we asked him, hey, what graduate program are you going to do? Because at that time, with the old rules, you had to do something that your previous school didn't have.
Yeah.
And Jake looks at us and goes, oh, I don't know. And I remember telling one of the coaches, hey, man, you gotta give him something. Tell him something. You just trotted him out there and be like, oh, I came here to major in football.
XYZ. Exactly. I had 1 year with Jake, but Jake was a great leader, great teammate, fun to be around, complete jokester, nothing negative to say about Jake. I mean, he just a little stiff in the hip, but Jake was good dude, good solid dude, but he was a traditional tight end. You're not about to flex Jake out and try to get him 50 balls, you gotta hit that one real quick. But he was cool, man. Jake was cool. I'm trying to think who the other grad transfer. We had Grady. Grady was Grady. And then we had the big line.
Josh Grady's sleeves. What'd you think?
Oh,
you mean Malik Zaire?
Malik sleeves. I keep mixing the two of them up.
Yeah. Malik, I did that one time on Twitter.
Malik was so cold until he got involved in the Gainesville elements. If we could have BYU'd Malik Zaire, boy, I'm telling
you. Yeah, wherever he came from. And Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, but he got a hold of some. No, I'm not. He started living a lifestyle that was non-traditional. Notre Dame.
He got caught up in the Gainesville lifestyle, and that nigga started playing like Swag. I love you, Creon.
He started. Woo! Man, yeah, I'm telling you, like, never had before. right, nah. It was over with. It was over with. It was over with.
Boys running around town, man, getting it in, huh? I thought I told some lies about Malik. Who was your favorite quarterback to play?
Oh,
play
Luke Dario.
Yeah,
I see that. Luke Dario. I think it was either my freshman or my redshirt freshman. Cole. It was whatever year he couldn't get the waiver. Man, he was like, man, I thought we had Tom Brady, and I'm gonna keep. No, I lied. I spoke. Mistruths.
I know what you're.
Oldest quarterback we had was Willie G by far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Outside of that, which everybody yeah. was that kind of meant, Will was that dude. Would probably be Luke. I like Appleby as a person, but Luke in that, like, if we could have captured the year where Luke could not play the way he was playing on that other field, because it would be me down there, he just carving. He understood the game, and he was just cold. He's cold.
What the hell happened when he got on the field the next year?
I think Mother Nature.
Man, that was the offense, bro. It wasn't him, bro. It's very similar to like Billy Napier's offense, and like you knew what we was running. We gonna run outside zone, and we're gonna run play action boot. That was it. Like he was
and Luke ain't mobile, so like you get a Appleby could at least, you know what I'm saying, he get that little hobble bit down the field.
Sneaky like, fast.
Or even Willie G. Willie G was that dude where he got them out of trouble because I'm athletic enough. If you put me on a boot, I can scramble for eight and get a first down. And now the offense all of a sudden looks efficient. Meanwhile, it's been trash. It was just like
it was players outplaying the system. If we being real, like even look at some of the games we won, like that Tennessee game, like it wasn't a crazy call. It was players making crazy plays. Both years with Tennessee,
I was telling you the other day. We had dudes like Mason Halter on our O-line, but trying to run the ball like Bama.
Oh, no.
He's getting invaded by free safety.
Like, we wrote so nicely about Mason Halter. We were like, he was all whatever D2 conference that was. He was this. We wrote all this stuff.
My legs is bigger than Mason Halter.
Thank you, Khalif.
My legs is bigger than Mason Halter.
There's a lot of Mason Halter lies on the timeline, too.
I mean, you just got to understand, like – I think there was so much politics ingrained in that first year or two on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I'll be transparent. There's no reason Dorsey did not play.
Like, we needed it.
I'm not going to say names because, you know, some of these people are from where I'm from. But certain people were playing over him that he was better than. But
who's Dorsey?
Tavares. Tavares. Okay. People that presented a certain kind of way that they were more inclined to play. But Dorsey was cold. Like, Dorsey could have easily played center. He could have played guard, and he chose not to. The whole nonsense with – Fred playing tackle some week, guarding it. Like, there's no reason that Fred should not have been. It should have been Fred, Dorsey, and Sharp in some capacity on the field at all times. You can figure out the other ones. Ted should have been out there too. I'm tripping. But, like, that it shouldn't have been these question marks between, oh, we don't know here, we don't know there, but, like, we getting all this pressure, we can't run the ball. Yeah, of course you can't run behind Halter. I couldn't run behind him. No one could.
Exactly. We trying to run power right behind him. And
with two tight ends.
Yeah, come on. Two tight ends.
I wonder why the box full.
Two tight ends that want to run a route, too. That'd be the blowing me the most. They don't want
to block a leg, boy.
I think it was a Florida State game. Somebody just picked him up.
It was Derwin James, one arm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. That's the dude we running behind in all our faith. I ain't saying now, Derwin James ain't strong now. Granted,
Derwin James, we're talking about like an all pro.
He
put me on train tracks one time. I said, you got it, be dog.
Did the locker room ever get split with Willie G and Trae?
No, because it wasn't like, I mean, it wasn't close talent wise. Like, it just was what, like, everybody knew, like, you could like Treon as a person, think he cool, not like him, dislike him, whatever. But, like, Willie G was that dude. Like, when we beat Ole Miss. Boy, you couldn't tell us we weren't gonna win a natty. Boy, we had Willie G. And they popped that out with that man. They gave him that boy that bad stuff. Man, he just had a bad bagel. He went out there. bad bagel. He had some what's the cheese called that you put on it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, everything seasoning.
Yeah, he had a little something he wasn't supposed to have, you know. But it would have, man, look. Nah, it wasn't no split locker room because Will didn't make it close. And he was, it's not like he was, not only was he cold, he was likable. Like, Will would go on an off season and hoop with us at the rec and actually get buckets and get like, and we're like, oh, this boy out here hooping with us. And he at the pool. And he had Gronk. What was the other one? Fat. Man, Willie was cool. So there was no reason to be split because everybody liked him.
He had a little seasoning, Corey.
Yeah,
listen. Oh, I know. You got to tell me, man. I know how Willie G got down, man. I lied, did a lot of lies about Willie G. I cried, man. I shed a thug tear. I cried, man. That's the boy, man. Like, bro, I was like, y'all. I thought hey, Natty Child. So I was at the game, the Tennessee game. I missed the Ole Miss. I wanted to go back to the Ole Miss, but I had some Halloween plans that I couldn't miss for a party or whatever. But I was at the Tennessee game. So he ran the touchdown. Callaway ran the touchdown at my section. We lit, man. So we come back that next week and sprinkle like a top five Ole Miss. Like, I was telling lies. And then I got the craziest news of my life 2 weeks later.
Life was so good. Boy, next, you know, we in the SEC championship. And Reuben Foster calling out our plays. He run the option route. I will never forget that shit.
I'm telling you, bro, we were so predictable offensively. It made no sense.
Crazy.
And you know, BP ain't got no defense. They ain't calling out our plays, man.
I'm trying to tell you, were hot. He like, man, y'all switch this shit up. I got us out here looking stupid.
It was what it was. Yeah.
Were you? Did you play in the green jerseys, the swamp uniform?
Yeah, man, I was out. Was that Texas A&M we played?
Texas A&M. What was your thoughts on it? What was the team's thoughts on it?
Was it the thoughts on the diaries? Oh, that was garbage. But like, I mean, we didn't get no drip, so yeah, like we was gonna take it. Like, come on, every week we was out there here.
Orange, white, socks big,
OG wristbands.
Make sure your tape ain't showing.
Like, right. We gonna take it, but them things.
Gator Bama.
Them things not it, bro.
David,
Cleats was hard though.
David Reese still wears his turfs. David Reese is coaching the edge room out here. Still wears the green turfs that you guys got.
So hear me out. The footwear, immaculate. The jerseys, always.
Yeah.
But the footwear, like the cleats, I think I still got them in a box back home.
I'm about to say, I think I still got some turf shoes and shit.
That's why I'm saying we had no seasoning. If we would have had some seasoning in that front, like some seasoning that has some power in that front office, we could have mixed with, we could have gotten nasty. Because when we saw them with the, I ain't gonna lie, I felt like, boy, them boys had black jerseys. I'm out that bit.
Them
cleats.
I was like, damn, I'm low key sick.
No, but y'all had the you guys at least switched helmets. You guys had like the blue,
the white.
The matte blue with the gators, the white helmet.
I ain't touched that one either. I ain't touched that one either. That one was cold.
Oh, you
too.
Just
that
had the white
blue.
One? That matte blue just had with the, white the, one. The circle with the F? It was for
a
homecoming
game.
Yeah,
that was game. Fire. I love it. That was a fire uni with the matte blue helmets, blue jersey, white pants.
For as much as Jim McElwain would only let you guys wear, like, gray wristbands,
he wanted to switch up
the jerseys a bunch.
Yeah, but but the minute he got fired, we got – what's his name from South Florida? Shannon, boy, we was out there. Ooh, we had t-shirts. We had the time of our life. It's so fun.
So, what was your favorite like uni combos? If you was to pick one, top two,
all white. I like the all white, and I like the all white and the all like the all white and the all orange. I'm very
okay.
All orange,
but that white helmet. Pick one. One's got that stupid italic F. And the other side has the script. Like, pick one.
Yeah. Two
give me
different
the script
files.
Gators on both.
Right. Pick one of the other.
We was just trying to get something.
We were just trying to get it going.
Khalif's like, listen, I could wear a wristband.
We just had to fight to get extra long sock. Like, we really couldn't. Like, we couldn't. Like, that's not your shoe size. What? <I'm out. laughs> Pull your socks down. What? Huh?
What is that?
Worried about the wrong things.
And that's why we ain't never win nothing. We got real close to nothing every time.
You still keep up with Florida?
Yeah, because I got a lot of like a good amount of youngsters that have come through there in the past couple of years. I know my dog Pup is gone, but Pup is my boy, Grayson Howard. Actually, fun fact, I can't remember his name, but I knew his brother Stubbs. Stubbs' brother is the person that cut off my dreads. So I know Stubbs. He's from Jacksonville. Jacksonville ties run deep. Random stuff happens from the same community. But no, I try to keep up. My brother had a decent relationship with Barber. My brother did some NIL stuff at a firm back in Jacksonville for a bit. But I try to keep up with it. I want to go back more now that I'm out of law school. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my teammates or former teammates are involved on the team. Like, I didn't know Quincy was out there, you know, coaching until I seen Quincy with some braids back there running around. Yeah. And it was good. I love seeing my old teammates come back and do like the GA deal so they can graduate. That brings a lot to my heart. I enjoy seeing that.
Definitely.
You got to talk to Quincy. My guy's running like 5 miles every morning now. I don't know ultra marathon he's training for, but he's getting skinny now. He's
the Wilsons are different. They're different. I like them, but they're different. They're different. They're like emo black. I don't know how to describe different.
Marco was back for the spring game. He's wearing some like it might be too old of a reference for you. Those Janko jeans, like the mega bell bottoms.
Japanese.
He's
very future. I love it. Marco has always been the fashion, all that type of stuff.
He definitely on his I think some call hip or something like that. He got his little clothing brand.
He's got his clothing line, he does his art. Yeah, that was I saw him at the spring game. That was the first time he'd been back since he left.
Since the shoe?
he had some games after the shoe, but yes, the first game. I just first time back.
Yeah, he was a captain after the shoe. Khalif, I've got a question. I've not always talked the most positive about Jacksonville, and so in order for me to get a different experience, Corey's told me to go to Moncrief. Would you recommend that, or would you say, hey, Dan probably shouldn't go to Moncrief?
Scarlett, did you drop this one? I'm from that street.
Corey dropped it.
No, but I live right off of Moncrief. Like, you can go there. Okay. I can take you to Toonies Wings. We can get you a 10-piece.
I did eat the Toonies, though. The Toonies was hitting.
So now I've got a tour guide. Yeah. All right, perfect. Yeah. I'll be up there soon.
Yeah.
You just got to know how to.
My drones, man.
But, you know, sometimes. I'll tell you this, and Scarlett might not like it. You get Jack's kid, guaranteed he's not going to scam. That's my one little joke.
Hey, we did have one of them boys in us. Thingy,
oh, yeah, but like ratios and proportions, like Austin Barber is not Kamanis Davis. Tyler Jordan is not Richard Nasir Jones.
Once you go a little bit more south, it does get a little bit more
wicked. Get a little wicked.
Who was the lineman that got caught up in that?
Telly.
Kadeem Telford. Kadeem's from.
He would have been a good lineman, though. He was a good lineman. Like,
did he end up making it to the league still?
Nah, he didn't. I think he went to like a camp.
He looks like
looking at a picture of him with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he played with the Packers. He played with the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was on the practice squad for a little bit.
I'm about to say he was good, bro. I didn't really.
Dolphins practice squad for a little bit too.
He was a good one. Once I saw him blocking some dudes, like come out there as a freshman and be good at O-line. I mean, you got to be pretty special.
He also had that. He wasn't scared. He was going.
Yeah, he was. I'm gonna say he feared no man. Like all them dudes lined up against him, Ja'Kai, CeCe, Jabari. He didn't care. He's like, bro, I'm from the career. I'm from the do something.
Do what I do.
Yeah, he did. He was.
Was he same class as Wani?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was
2017. No. Yeah, 2017. Yeah, and then he transferred to two community colleges and he's at UAB for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was one thing. So, like, Muschamp recruited for like a pro style system on the offensive line for 3 years, 4 years. And his last year, they're like, sorry, this isn't working. You have to go spread. And it's like, well, I bought all these Japanese ingredients. I can't make your Italian lasagna now. So it didn't work. But then McElwain came in on the back end, and that was a pro-style system. It's like, hey, you got all these guys who are 6'6", 370. You can run that now. But then you didn't play the right ones.
Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. You played the exact opposite.
But you let the defense. So I give him credit for that.
But Will left you a damn cover full of defenders.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I tell people all the time that Anzalone might have been the worst linebacker for my time in Florida. And they're
which is crazy to say. Yeah, it's so crazy.
He was always kind of hurt, too.
He was injured every year he was at UF. Yeah, and then he went to the NFL and has been injured like once.
Well, he had Mike Summers as his strength coach for a little bit. No, Mike Summers.
Mike Kent.
So I knew Mike Kent was bad. It's probably like
a damn PE teacher, man.
14, 15. I'm going to Gainesville Health and Fitness, and I go at night, so there's no crowd, and I start running into football players.
Yeah, we're getting extras.
And I'm like, okay, why? There's no women here. Like, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, they're not chasing, like, women. This is, like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, oh, we're in the sauna. I'm like, you guys have a weight room and a sauna. You have all that stuff. And they're like, I think what they really wanted to say is we don't work out. So we're trying to get our lift in.
Kent taught us how to – we could run. Well, under Mike Kent, we could run. Like, all that running we did, we could fly.
Was running for sure.
We could fly, but we weren't strong. Like, we could fly. We're like – I would say we were flexible, mobile, because we could – I could still power clean to this day. I can go out there and probably
– he used to have us in the deep squat with him damn sandbags.
I could still do all that, but, like, that's cool and all, but does it translate when I go against that boy from Bama that's just putting his hands on me and jacking me up?
Don't correlate it.
Coach, I can't run when he's holding me off the ground.
Khalif, I do want to talk briefly. So you transferred to Grambling State, and then looks like you were on a practice squad or a couple tryouts there in the NFL, and then you went to law school. Graduated, passed the bar in Florida and South Carolina, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And now you're working. Talk to us a little bit about life post.
Yeah, man. So after I graduated from Florida, I had a couple like group five schools that I was debating on whether or not I wanted to go to them. But my parents went to Grambling. So like I just kind of laid that out there. It wasn't like I had no – I went back to where my parents went under the impression that there was promises made that were not fulfilled without going into the details of it. So much so, like my first year there, I was not on scholarship. I was not made aware of that till I was moving into my apartment in Louisiana. You think I would have went there? No. I had visited FIU, Georgia Southern. I was like, no, I could have stayed at the crib. Like, I would have went somewhere else. I went to Stetson on a full ride before I went up here and paid my first year. But I went out there, and I'm not going to bash HBCUs or talk down on them, but they don't know how to use certain players that don't fit their mold. They're more akin to using spread and no huddle. It's more difficult when you get somebody who has a more pro build and placing them in those offenses. So I was at that point, I became a man. I was like 6'4" and a half, 6'5", 245. I could flex out, I could still move. But at that level, I was going to maul you. And they didn't really know how to run the play action and stuff like that. So I didn't get the yards and all that stuff. My blocking film was immaculate, which is wild because in Florida, I was a route runner. Like, I literally had I had the Ravens scout at my pro day be like, you run routes like a receiver. Why don't they do that here? And I gave the political answer. I did whatever the team felt was best, yada, yada, yada. And then my head coach, like, that just wasn't our scheme, but he's always had blah, 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 blah. So I do that. I play there. I actually come out the year of COVID. So that first year, I had my pro day scheduled for Florida and Grambling, and they both got canceled like a week or two before it because the world shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I've always had a brain, so, you know, I'm staying in shape, whatever. If something happens, it happens. I get a job at a local law firm in Jacksonville, and the whole next year – no, I lied. I got a job at Florida Blue. And I was working at Florida Blue and just staying in shape. And the next year came around. I went and did my pro day at Grambling, tested pretty well to where they were like, wait, he's kind of decent. Like, I think I benched 225 like 19 times. I brought it 6 or 10 to 8. I jumped 37 and a half. I ran like a 4.7, 4.8. They're like, wait, he's explosive. He's got something here. So I did that one. I went and did pro day at Florida. And my agent was like, you did well. You probably hear from somebody. Didn't hear from anybody for like a month or two because this is my first year out. I'm already out of my first year. So it's not like I got drafted. I was moving my ex back home. She had just graduated from nursing school. And as I'm moving her back home, I get a call from my agent. Hey, the Dolphins have signed you. I'm like, well, I've been pushing papers. Like, I'm talking about off the street. They signed me off the street. So I went up there for like a week and a half, got released because, you know, I'm going to keep it a bug. I got there and I realized what it was. It was two things. I say, one, how has this guy played in the league for 8 years? He sucks. And two, this boy is in hella shape that I'm not in right now. There's a lot going on right here. So it was because the year I came in was Waddle's rookie year and Tua. So I'm seeing that. I'm seeing can't remember the receiver's name at the time, cussing out. It was a lot for me. So I get released from them. My agent says
Parker
that
Parker was the main receiver there.
Who was?
Devontae Parker.
Yes.
His last year there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I get released and I'm on the waiver wire. My agent's like, hey, the Jags want to work you out, but the Giants are gonna claim you. And so I'm like, shit. He's like, where you want to? He's like, the Giants will go claim you. The Jags are going to work you out. So we're going to go to New York. He didn't pay attention. The Giants wanted to work me out. So I took a red eye and had to work out that next morning. If I'd have known that, I'd have just went up to, we're all learning.
Could have went right to fucking Jack.
Oh, I didn't know I was working out the next morning until I got in New York or New Jersey at like 1 a.m. So I go up there. It's me and Garrett one-on-one. Ain't no other tight end. I do the workout. I drop maybe one ball out of like 10. He's like, I told you to cut it 12 yards. You cut it 11 and a half. That I'm just certain. I go through. I get through it, but I do what I do. And so typically, from my understanding, Jordan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if they have you do medical and all that stuff after your workout, they're going to probably sign you.
Nah, that's so a fact. I did medical. They ain't putting you through no medical unless.
I did medical for an hour and a half. I gave blood. Everything came back. Bro say, it ain't nothing you did. You had a great workout. You're on our short list. We're going to. I'm like, bro, you just had me for an hour and a half off of red eye? Come to find out, as I'm getting back on the plane, they had already signed somebody.
Yeah, that's how they do. They did me like that in Tampa, same way, bro.
I was
tight. And it was during COVID, like, so you know, you had to wait a few days.
Well, I was, I was so tight. I was mad at my agent for like, but it's just, I was just tight about it. And from there, I went back home and I coached at my local high school, staying in shape, and then ended up moving back to Orlando to train even more. And I remember vividly my last workout I ever did. It was at this facility in Orlando with this guy named TP. He looks at me and says, your workout today is 100 squats and 225. I don't care how you get there. 5x20, 10x10, 1x100. That's your workout. Have fun. And I get through that. I'm in the locker room putting my suit on to go to work. Because mind you, I'm working out and then going and busting a 9-to-5. Putting the suit on in the locker room. Thinking like, man, I really got through that, man. This hell, like I'm out of shower. I'm walking in the office. That day at work, I kid you not, I saw a settlement check for $21 million. I said, I'm done. I called my agent. I said, I'm done. He thought I was, I said, I'm done. I'm taking the LSAT. I took the LSAT.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Did you always want to be an attorney?
My mom's an attorney. So okay. I knew when Father Time and my brother, I knew when Father Time called me, I had somewhere to go. But that seeing that 21 mil, you mean to tell me I can get a cut of this and I ain't got to get my skull beat in and be in New York one day and Miami the other? I'm going to go do that 3-year bid and I'm going to holler at y'all afterwards. That was it. It wasn't no like I gave up. Like I didn't have, like, because my agent was like, I had teams call me a couple weeks ago. You're on a short list in an XFL. I said, man, look, bro, like I found something I enjoy doing and I can make that kind of money and not have to be my skull in and only go, I'm good, bro. I'm so good. And
you're like, also, your listening comprehension sucks, so I don't know who you're talking to me about.
For real.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. And now you're in Charleston, South Carolina? Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. Awesome. Yes, sir. What brought you up there? Charleston, was it work? Beautiful. Or?
Yeah, so I do MedMal, and Charleston is the state of South Carolina itself, because another attorney named Johnny Stewart and I, we do MedMal for the entire state of South Carolina at Morgan. That's a little plug for the people. So we go up here and we do our med mile, and it was a good venue for me to be in as opposed to being in Florida where I would be behind a lot more med attorneys. It's just the two of us on the whole state. So yeah.
That's awesome. Man. It's a beautiful place to live.
I did not know it was this nice until I got up
here. Yeah.
It's quite out of the time of my life.
Yeah.
Amen, amen.
That's awesome, crazy, man. Well, Khalif, we'll let you go, bro. Thanks so much, man. I had an absolute blast with you today. I know we all did.
Yeah.
Fantastic storyteller. I know that you've got an illustrious career ahead of you in the legal space as well. Are you do much on social media or anywhere that people can follow you? Or
So I've got my let me pull it. I have an attorney page. Don't follow my private one. I'm not going to accept you. Scarlet, my wallet or too much. But let me pull it up real quick, and I'll plug my attorney page. I'll let y'all in my private page, but I am the other people can't get in. You know what I'm saying? We have capacity. Right now, on my public page, I'm a Power Ranger, so that just lets you know what kind of nonsense.
Yes, you be on straight. Yes.
My Instagram page is ATTYKHJ, and then the name of it is Khalif Hassan Jackson, ESQ. Awesome. So that's my little plug.
Well, Dr. Jackson, we appreciate you for joining the show today, my friend.
Khalif Jackson, Esquire.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a blessed one. Go Gators.
Awesome.
Go
Gators, man. Appreciate you, Khalif.
That was a great interview.
Great interview.
Well, Khalif's hilarious, man.
Yeah, Khalif's definitely he's a good one.
You need Khalif the biggest names, man, to get a good conversation, bro. Like,
no. Do you think Khalif went to Jim McElwain's retirement party?
What'd you say?
Do you think Khalif went to Jim Mack's retirement party?
I don't know if he was on the invite.
Yeah, I think the invite got lost in the mail. Probably still thought he was in Orlando.
I don't think he's gonna want to fit the dress code.
Bro, I've forgotten about the boat shoes.
Well, he was more of a loafer guy, wasn't he? Or was it the team?
Matt, the team, he was a loafer guy, shoes, no socks. Which I think, Dan, you were on that a lot on social media. I think against it.
I mean, as somebody that wears loafers, I don't think that that's what you should put your team in.
The team was in Sperry's without an
I
NIL
mean,
deal.
I, as somebody that used to wear Sperry's, I got no problem with it. Probably not.
Loafers is like the cousin of that, ain't it?
Dan's a big loafer guy. But
no, I am a big loafer. What I didn't like is I don't like the pleats. We got to leave those back in the 90s. You know what
pleats
I mean?
Are coming back. Pleats are coming
I
back. Don't,
I do not care.
It won't be on me, but I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah. I was an anti-pleat guy. Still am. Still am. I was anti-pleat. I still am anti-pleat. All right, guys. That was a great interview. It went probably 25 minutes longer than I thought it would. But I do want to talk about one kind of big topic that we talked a little bit about before. Now that, Nick, that you're back, we Jordan and I know touched on this a couple episodes when it was just him and I, maybe 2 weeks ago. But what's the biggest thing that you want to see over the next couple of months before we get into really the throes of summer and then fall practice? What is the one couple of things that you want to see from this team, from the coaching staff, from recruiting, whatever it might be, over these next couple months?
Yeah, I think – well – We're about to get into OV season. The first OV weekend is this week. So that's probably your next, you know, how many guys can you get? What does your class look like by the time the team starts summer practice? What does it look like before fall? You're still going to get some more guys, but it feels like a lot of these teams and the, just the way that commitments are going now, you're getting teams with 21, 22 guys before the season starts. So what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, having 16 at this point in time, 5 years, 6, 7 years ago is unheard of for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's May.
Yeah.
Taping on May 25th. So that's the first thing. And then the one for me that is going to, you know, hearing Summerall, I mean, he said it on our show. I heard it 6 times over the last month. It's the biggest question mark to me. He mentions the tight end room a lot, but like, I think we've just said that, like, that room is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no second portal. The tight end room is what it is. To me, the biggest one and the biggest area that could hold the team back is the offensive line. So finding those 5 to 8, so the starting 5, and then your 8, 9 guys that you can depend on. That's going to be the biggest thing for me. And you got to figure that out in the fall.
And you don't think that that's just lip service, do you? You don't think that that's just the way that he wants to motivate that group? Just
I was at every practice.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to put that on record.
Yeah. 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 That's my opinion.
Okay.
Offensive like line makes me nervous.
I like that.
Yeah. That's always one of the hardest positions to obviously find in a game of football. It's O-line. So. Not to say that that's always going to be the case, but obviously in a situation we are now with a coaching change and being able to retain some guys going to the lead, that's just what we're dealing with right now. But I think what I would want to see out of this team is just them coming a little bit closer together, right? You know, with the transfer portal being so heavy, you got a lot of dudes coming in who are probably going to have to play now. And I just want them to all be together. You know, I feel like the teams that are the best, they probably have to treat their brotherhood, playing for one another. I know it sounds real cliche, but dudes are in and out every year like the NFL now on the college level. So I think it's very important that they spend this little bit of off time. And I don't even care if y'all spent 3-4 days together during the little break that y'all got in between spring and coming back. Like, just want the boys to get together, even if y'all hanging around, like, make it be fun again to go to the indoor and get some work together on the random night. You know what I'm saying? It's not against the rules to go do that. It's all players going to the indoor and go work some drills. Like, that shouldn't be a rare thing for y'all. So I think them just finding that bond in between each other and just trying to make being great being cool. Oftentimes being in a real lonely city like that, like Cleef said when he mentioned Malik Zaire, like a lot of dudes fall into the wrong habits and the wrong bad things versus y'all coming together and doing some good things, you know. So I think Coach Summerall is obviously doing a good job and instilling that in his guys. So hopefully they just carry that over. And that's really what I want to see from them. And obviously I won't see it, but I hope that that's what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Corey, what do you got?
I mean, offensive line is definitely an area I hope they gel and get together. But the cornerback room is still one. I'm not sure, like, how healthy Dijon is, you know, being a healthy room. I know they went and got the JUCO kid. and they bringing him along. And I think that was one of the reasons that they went and got that JUCO kid. So that cornerback room, I'm still a little skeptical on as well. Outside of the three, Ben Hanks, Javari Flowers, and Cremoni, it gets a little shaky. Dijon's health, how good is the JUCO kid? Who else can we put at that spot to count on Saturdays? And then from a recruiting standpoint, just, you know, getting some higher rated kids on that defensive side, like getting the D line, the linebacker, the cornerback rooms to match what's going on the offensive side. I thought it would be the opposite, right? Being that our head man is a defensive guy, I thought like defense would be more solidified on the recruiting trail. But there is some lack of experience on the defensive side when it pertains to the staff, right? You got to go on the trail. It ain't just NIL bucks. You selling draft picks, et cetera, like, you know, your experience and your resume. So I would like to see that pick up because it's not early. It's late. Once you start getting into the summertime in today's cycle, like, you're getting into the late part of recruiting. So just those things, less interviews. I'll just keep it a beam, man. Somebody got to say it, man. Less interviews by the head, man. I'll be the bad guy. It's time to dial in, baby. Let's get focused, man.
I'm looking at where did it go? So they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they got like 3 inside linebackers, 2 defensive linemen. One of them is the Steve Bentley, who is already committed, and then a bunch of 3 safeties and 2 corners coming in this weekend.
Yeah. And I think the Gators sit in a good spot. There is Jabois Smith. He just got crystal balled by Blake Alderman and Corey Bender, 4-star linebacker, number 138th overall player in the country, number 11 linebacker to Swainsboro, Georgia. Yeah. I kind of agree with Corey. We talked about this, I think, last week. Yeah, I just want to see the floor raised a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. You've recruited the offensive line really well. You've really gone and gotten some – you've gotten a good – quarterback, you've gotten some good wide receivers. Now it's an opportunity for you to level up that floor. You're only as good as those trenches, and where we're seeing it on one side, I want to see it on the other. That's probably the biggest thing that I want to see over the next 3 months, because once you get into season, if the last 3-4 years is indicative of much, you're not going to get a lot of movement and transaction or traction during the season. So we don't totally know how summer all works, but just based on the history of the sport and the way that things are going now, a lot of these coaches want their staffs or their recruiting class handled before the season starts. So definitely want to see the Gators go out and get some players. You know, tight end position is a concern, but it's not as much of a concern as offensive line obviously is. And you guys hit that nail on the forehead, or nail on the head, pardon me. And then I'm just talking about my own forehead. And then finally, I want to see when the quarterback situation gets resolved. And I know it's not something that Summerall wants to talk about, but who's going to be the one that steps up to earn that job? And what does that look like for the Gators going into summer? Is that position earned during the offseason here? Is it going to be earned early on? But at the end of the day, that's something that I still have, question marks about. There's a lot of inexperience there. They're 2 different quarterbacks. So what does that look like for the Gators offense going into next year? So that's probably the big things that I'm going to think about and wonder over these next 3 months.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I think we'll end up seeing both guys at this point. Maybe it'll change over camp, but that sitting here today in May, I wouldn't be surprised if both Tremel and Philo played in the opener against FAU, both play against Campbell, like.
I think the thing is like Summerall talked about it on our show. He's like, somebody has to go win the job. And
yeah,
I don't want either quarterback to play like if they do something wrong that they're going to lose their starting spot. I want somebody to go claim that job. And I have my thoughts and opinions on who I think it should be, but I'm not the coach. So somebody has to go earn that job. Somebody has to go win that job. So that's what I'm looking forward to this offseason, to see if that happens.
Yeah, I think it set up for if nobody goes and win the job in fall camp. I think we got the perfect setup in the first 2 games. I would like to have like that figured out in the first game, before the first game, like halfway into camp, ideally, right? But I just don't think that's the case. I think it's a real close competition. who could get explosive and just prevent turnovers, could just easily just fall into the job. But I think the first two games is a good testing situation where you could play both guys, safely win the game, you know, by three scores or more. But you get a good look at what you got from a leadership standpoint, getting in and out of the huddle, changing plays, audibles, getting you out of bad plays, you know, because defense is very familiar with what this offense want to do. So you get that camp fever a little bit where the defense can kind of predict what you're trying to run, and it's hard to get your plays off. But I think those first two games are lined up to be games you get to see an opponent that never seen your offense and see what you got.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, you guys got anything else before we head out of here?
No.
No, big weekend for baseball. Big week for golf.
Yes, I do want to issue a correction, and thanks, Brandon Connell. I was going through – I clicked on men's, but it because the men's tournament hasn't started yet, it defaulted to the women. So the women, unfortunately, missed the cut at plus eight, so they weren't they did not move on to match play. But the men's tournament will start this upcoming weekend, and they are the number two overall seed. They powered their way through. I mean, it wasn't even close in the last couple of matches that they've had. So good luck to them. That will be this weekend. So thanks, Brandon, for the correction there. We've got over 1,000 people watching right now. So if you guys could hit the like button, if it's on X, the little heart button there, if you could share it, retweet it, re-exit, whatever we're calling it. And then on YouTube, if you could hit that like button, that subscribe button, and drop a comment here. But one final time for our last and final sponsor, that's our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, Florida, right on Archer Road. Largest selection of Florida Gators apparel in all of Gainesville and likely online. Again, that's alumnihall.com. Tell them your friends at Stadium and Gale sent you.
Okay.
Let's go.
And Raul said, great interview. You should bring him back. I'd love to bring Khalif back on.
Man, right. Khalif was hilarious, man. Like, great, great interview. Funny guy.
Funny guy. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys again. You're grateful for those that served our country on this Memorial Day and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. A lot of content coming up. See you guys.